So our next guest is Anastasia Marx de Salcedo. She's author of Combat Ready Kitchen, How the U.S. Military Shapes the Way You Eat, from energy bars to mac and cheese. We're going to explore how the military has influenced the development of many of the foods that you have on your shelf. One of the things I really enjoyed about your book is that you go even further back in history, and you talk about the link between the development of food products and the military, going well back before the U.S. was even a country. Tell us a little bit about that deeper connection.
First of all, combat rations have existed for quite a long time. The very first ones go back to ancient Sumer. Even though the wars there were very close by, soldiers brought into battle things like barley cake, beer, and green onions. So they have grown up with us throughout human history. But the first time the military became actively involved in food science actually dates back to the age of Napoleon. And that came about is after the French Revolutionary War, in part due to the hunger experienced during soldiers and citizens, the French government issued a prize for anybody who could come up with the fifth major way to preserve food. Until then, combat rations and food had been preserved using salting, drying, smoking, and pickling. And so a French chef turned candy maker named Nicolas Appert took that up, and he spent a decade working in his candy shop experimenting with a way to preserve food, and that was to cook it in a glass vessel, which was then put in a larger vessel, metal, of boiling water, and then to stop up the first one, and the food within was then sterile and could last for months or years, and that is canning. He finally...
But canning actually started with, like, wine bottles full of peas, right? And mashed potatoes and gravy and things like that?
Yes. And so, anyway, after that really changed the world. And it allowed, at first it was used primarily by military and travelers, but eventually that trickled down to the rest of us. And it still really is one of the most important food preservation techniques.
But, you know, this is one of the themes that comes out of your book in many different ways, is that in essence, we are eating food that is designed for shelf stability, taste, and nutrition for soldiers in very extreme conditions, which isn't necessarily the kind of thing that I want to provide nutrition to my kids.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's the key issue here. And the reason that, we alluded to this, but what happened after World War II is that the government decided that it didn't want to have to go through the experience of ramping up for an enormous multinational conflict should another one come along. And it decided to maintain the military and the commercial sector that supports it in a state of readiness, and that's preparedness. That preparedness policy means that any federal lab, and particularly any Defense Department laboratory, really has a mandate to get any research development into its allied private sector. And so with combat rations, the Combat Feeding Directorate really works to get any science that it develops into consumer food items.
And so this isn't just private companies taking advantage of military-developed technology to put out foods that will be popular and profitable. But it's also a very deliberate policy intent of the military?
That's what I'm saying. Yes, it is. I mean, that is really the piece of the whole puzzle that surprised me the most after I had finished the book, was to see how deliberate this was. And that's not to say that there aren't tremendous advantages for private companies in using these freebies, but there's a very active process, a push on the part of the military to get the science and technology it uses into consumer products. And we know that with all sorts of technology goodies that we have, from the internet to GPS to jet planes.